The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on Life Today, Beth Moore helps us discover our true selves.
When we out-talk our true walk, we will trip over and over and over again, and this is what is happening. Our mouth keeps overshooting our true walk. Our mouth, if we're spiritual people, we talk a bigger talk than our walk is living out.
Becoming a more honest version of yourself, next.
It's always a joy to share Life Today with you, and especially on Wednesdays with Beth. She is talking about, this is an interesting subject that let me get this title, Our True Selves. Now, what in the world is Beth talking about? Is she implying that we don't really get honest about who we are? We try to cover up. I think that a lot of times in religious settings and circles, we do a lot of cover-up. Mm-hmm. We have to look like everybody expects us to look, or we think they expect us to look. Well, Beth's going to talk about our true selves. Would you welcome Beth Moore?
Now, tell the audience, in case they're just joining us, what chapter we've turned to in the Scriptures. Genesis 32, and I'm going to start reading in a portion that follows the Jacob narrative. If you've ever studied Jacob, he is one of the most fascinating individuals in all the Old Testament, and certainly in the book of Genesis. And so we're picking up in the middle of his narrative. We're picking up at a place where God has come to him through a vision and told him, or had his voice speak over him, it is time for you to go back home. He has been on the run at his uncle's house, Laban's house, for 20 solid years because out of his trickery, he cheated his brother Esau, not only of his birthright, but also of his father's blessing. And the last he saw his brother threatened to kill him. So his mother sends him off to her brother, where he stays now for 20 solid years, and where he has also acquired not one wife, but through trickery, two wives. This time the trick was done to him instead of by him, and that is the way the narrative goes. And so we pick up in Genesis 32, verse 1, as he is on his way back to the land of promise that has been given to his forefathers for him to take. And it says in verse 1, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. And so we call the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom, instructing them, thus you shall say to my lord Esau. This is Jacob telling them what to say to Esau. Thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. One version says, I've been detained all of these years with Laban. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male servants, and female servants. I have sent to tell my lord in order that I might find favor in your sight. Verse 6, and the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you. And there are 400 men with him. And it says, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two camps, thinking, okay, if Esau comes to one camp and attacks it, then the camp that is left will escape. Picture this with me as he prepares to meet his brother who has a murderous vengeance toward him. I want you to just go with me onto this page as we open up into this narrative where something has happened that is classic in so many of us as people of faith. We see Jacob fighting for a blessing that he has already received. I mean, it's truly so intriguing because God spoke over the children in the womb of their mother when they were wrestling and turning, and she said, the younger one will be lord over the older one. He will take the authority. It had already been given. And yet, why is it they had to manipulate for what God had already said was theirs? But they had to find a way. Anybody know what it's like just to help God out with it? Just like, I don't see you doing it. So listen, I know you're just like, you're busy. You got a lot going. And this is how I see this coming down. And so they kept trying to steal. So often, brothers and sisters, we are trying to steal what God has already given us. We're trying to take something of the Spirit by fleshly means. And it never works. It never works. I want to just welcome you to the book of geniuses. Because honestly, we get into this book and go, you know what? My family is not altogether different from the family of promise on the early pages of Genesis. I want you to just wonder with me today, how many of you would say you're in a mess? I mean, would anybody, it'd just be good to just see a few hands. Go ahead, because like nobody's even watching you. Or maybe who's with you, maybe you know a mess and you're going. Or maybe you could say like me, you just like are your biggest mess. Anybody? I mean, I am the biggest mess I've got. But here's what's going to happen over our coming series. God is going to mess with our mess. Oh, yes, He is. Oh, He is going to get into it with us. And He's going to come right into the mess that is us, right into the mess that is around us. And He is going to mess with our mess. Somebody say, Jesus is going to mess with my mess. And He's going to mess with your mess. And it's going to be straighter once He gets done with it. I love this little excerpt out of a commentary. It's a Jewish commentary on Genesis called The Beginning of Wisdom. And he says this, one of the deepest problems inherent in all family life, the tension between family of origin and family of perpetuation. Anybody? Or more generally, between the claims of the past and the claims of the future. Nothing like trying to get your family of origin to fully get along with your family of perpetuation, the one that God is growing now. If you're like me, especially when you're trying to get the in-laws with your original family, it's kind of like, you know what? When somebody's going, let's all have Christmas together, I'm going, let's not. Anybody know what I'm saying? I love you both. Can we have one for lunch and one for supper? Because it's just a lot to put them all together. Because somehow the demands of the past and the demands of the future, this tension, I have lived in a fair amount of tension between the demands of my family of origin. I would say a very fair amount of tension between the demands of a family of origin and the demands of my own family underneath my own roof. Anybody else? And so some of that tension, I want you to kind of sit in that and feel the in-between of the claims of the past and the claims of the future, because so often there's something back there that still is having present effects, a past situation, something we regret terribly of our youth, and we're living with it in our present. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody been there besides me? Listen, about a month ago, I arrived in Moline, Illinois for a Living Proof Live. I was so thrilled to get there, about an hour's flight outside of Chicago. It's John Deere country. It's where the headquarters of John Deere is. I don't think I didn't take every one of my pictures off of our equipment that we actually do really real life own because we live in the backwoods of nowhere. But we had the best time in Moline, Illinois. But when I got off the plane and was walking through the airport, there were some people that were waiting on other people to get off. And there was a woman with a tattoo sleeve. Now, I'm not talking about, I've always thought, you know, in a different life, I probably would have gotten tattoos. I'm not talking about that. So I don't want nobody get any condemnation on you. I can think it's darling. But this was the sleeve. Anybody? This was the full sleeve. And it really looks good at about 25 and 30. But only the woman was, I'd give her right under 70. And it's like, whoa, wowzer. Because to be honest with you, I could no longer tell exactly what the original design was. That's the thing. And so sometimes we got our sleeve tattoo. And it seemed like such a great idea at the time, but I don't know, we get to be 70 and it's like, whoa, girl, what? Where's my long sleeve shirts? So we're gonna be looking into that. I love where it says Jacob went on his way, and the very first of that first verse, went on his way, because he's thinking he's going his way, and suddenly finds himself on a journey, going God's way, about to deal with something he could not have even begun to imagine. I want you to see with me, I want you to build our entire series upon this very first point, because I am asking God to do a lifelong work, that we be able to look back to this series and this season in our lives and say, you know what, God did something in me. He rendered something in me through that, that has continued to have ongoing harvest. I want it to be that kind of thing, because listen, this got to me. What I bring you here has already gotten to me. I don't bring that, when I study it out and it doesn't crawl all over me, I don't bother bringing it to you. I bring you what crawls on me in case it's going to crawl on you, and this one crawled on me. And number one is this, it's time we became more honest versions of ourselves. It is time, girlfriend, it is time, guy friend, that we became more honest versions of ourselves. Anybody already taking a deep breath? Because here's what I hope to prove to you. Every one of us have an inner Jacob. Every one of us do. And we're going to deal with that thing. We're going to look our own Jacobness inside our own selves squarely in the face. We're going to deal with our inner Jacob, because until it is intentionally slain, and the thing I find about it is it keeps wanting to resurrect. So it has to be just like beaten down and slaughtered over and over again. And so if you've never really dealt with your inner Jacob intentionally, you've not dealt with your inner Jacob, because he doesn't go down like that. He doesn't just go down easy. And by that, what I'm talking about is not some really, really freaky, mystical thing. I just mean that all of us have like a trickster in us. And we'll work on how that applies to us as we go through the series. But we're going to look at that. We're going to deal with our inner Jacob. His very name means supplanter. His name means heel grabber. His name means deceiver. And we're going to look at how that applies to us, even when we think, you know what, but I'm a really honest person. We're going to find out just how manipulative a person we could have inside of us if we're willing to. Now, we can just stay in our denial, but I want God to deal. Anybody else? I mean, I want God to deal with me. I got to tell you, Keith here recently, Keith and I are in our mid-50s, and he decided here recently that he was just going to go from glasses to contacts. Now, I've worn contacts for many years, but it's something else in your mid-50s when you're getting used to wearing contacts, because if you do indeed get them in, then, you know, you could see Jesus before you get them out. You know, it sounds easy, but there's just nothing natural about putting your finger toward the apple of your eye and keeping your eye open. It's just, it's been so long now, I don't really remember it well, but when he started doing it, and I'm trying to help him, there's nothing like trying to help someone get their contacts in and out. I mean, I'm just right in his face, and you don't want this nose right in your face. And so one of the things that has just killed us, he's finally gotten to where he can get them in, and then a lot of drama getting them out, but we can get them in. But all day long, because he's worn glasses for so long, all day long he pushes his forehead like this. He'll just talk to you, and then he goes, and he's, And he'd just be talking to you. He'd be looking out, kind of stare at something. And I'm just going to tell y'all right now, in this present series, over and over, you and I are going to go, I mean, oh, this would be me. This would be me. Unless it's just me. I hope I have some company with you. Y'all tell me what number one is, because somebody may have just joined us. It's time we did what? It's time we became more honest versions of ourselves. And this is why I'm going to build two right on top of number one, because I want you to see them together. We cannot walk in our full birthright as part fraud. No, ma'am. No, sir. We cannot walk in our full birthright as part fraud. It will not work. Anybody? Okay, our birthright is in the Spirit. We are the sons and daughters of God. His very Spirit lives in us. The Spirit of truth will not invade any part of us that is deceptive. It will not. They don't mix together. It will not intermingle. It will not just go in and kind of take over that part. It won't go there. The Spirit of truth will not go into whatever limb, picture it as a limb if you want to, whatever limb we got our game going. Holy Spirit's not in that. So here we have been called to walk in our full birthright. Because this whole entire narrative is all about birthright. Here we've been called to walk in the full thing in victory, not just as overcomers, as more than overcomers, as overcoming overcomers. That's what. But we cannot do that with any part of us that is still fraud. God is going to be calling out to us through this series, come out, come out. Wherever you are, wherever that fraud is, come out. Because when we out-talk our true walk, we will trip over and over and over again. And this is what is happening. Our mouth keeps overshooting our true walk. If we're spiritual people, we talk a bigger talk than our walk is living out. But for every one of us, I've said this so many times on Wednesdays, for every one of us, the way we're walking is the obvious, the true determining factor of our belief system. Not what we're saying. It's how we're living, what we're stepping out in.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
It's not the words. Actions not only speak louder, they tell us more about our true selves. So not what we're saying, what we're walking out. Father, I pray that you will help every one of us to live according to your word, by your word, walking and living in your word, in harmony with your word, that you may receive honor and glory. We all need your help. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. I pray you're blessed every time you listen to Beth. I am, Betty. She's always an encouragement to me. I thank God that we have an opportunity to fellowship with her some and get to see her true self, and she walks the talk.
Yes, she does.
So we are so glad we get to share this with you. Betty, we're going to look over and see one of our friends in a beautiful roll-in from overseas. You're going to see one of the most beautiful Christians that I know sitting down with someone that God has put love in her heart for. And will yours too, because this represents so many others that have a very real need that you can meet miraculously and perfectly. Watch closely.
It's been another stunning journey for me today, coming into this village that really is sort of out in the middle of nowhere, and just wondering what their water supply might be here. And to be honest with you, I didn't see water anywhere. And I did see, as we were driving in, some women carrying buckets sort of up and down the terrain of the land. And I thought, where are they getting this from? And I started to walk around the village until we came down a hill very rocky terrain down this hill, and I came upon this pool of water. And as I began to ask some questions, discovering that this is their only source of water right here. This is his only source of water. And this is where they have to come every day, all the way down here to get their water. I mean, you can look around and you can see that it is very dirty. And I asked someone, like, so when they get this water, how do they filter it from here to drink this? And was told that they don't filter it. This is it. This is their only source. This is what they have, and this is what they drink every day. You can see the contamination in it. You can see that there has got to be much disease and illness with each sip that they take. And it really breaks my heart to sort of be sitting here with this little guy thinking that there's something that I could maybe do, something different that I could do, even if it's a little bit, to change the steps of his life, the rest of his life, by giving him a cup of pure, clean water. And I know there's much work to be done. This is just the beginning of a beautiful story.
Tammy is asking, what can I do? Betty, what can she do? What's the answer to that question? When she sees the filthy water, contaminated water, knows that that child is likely to get sick and even die like others have in that village, what's the answer?
There is something that we can do. They need the water wells drilled, very much so. Water that we could give them would be pure, clean water. And as I watch that child scooping up that water, because why? He's thirsty. And why? Because that's the only water source that they have. And, you know, when we think of scooping up or drinking water, we think that's going to quench our thirst. It's going to be good for our bodies. Well, it may quench the thirst of the child for the moment, but it's bringing death to their bodies. And we can make that difference. We can give what God leads us to give, and you join with us, because we can't do it by ourselves. We need your help to drill these water wells. Please help us.
And I think, just as you saw the love that was being expressed in Tammy, and through the things that she said, and just the concern that she was, sharing with all of us, it was that love and that concern that brought us to that area. It's the only reason Tammy and our mission team went there, along with our video cameras, was to show you a real need that a missionary found. A missionary that went there with God's love in their heart to share God's love with the people. And if you really love people and you see a need, you want to meet it, just like a mother wants to meet the need of her child. The parents of those children, they want those children to have a chance. They're never going to have the luxuries and nice things that a lot of us have in the advanced world. And we have been blessed. When we've been blessed, we're blessed to bless. We enjoy the blessings that we have, but we also should get the greater joy of sharing those blessings. So what we do in answer to the question, what can I do? We can drill a well there. The missionaries pointed us to that site. We know there's water there. That's a borehole where they dug. There's water there, but it's contaminated and filthy. We can drill a freshwater well. The average costs $4,800. Case it. Give them a manual pump that doesn't depend upon unreliable electricity and electrical energy sources. It's one a child can turn. They can get fresh water every day. Take it back to their family. Would you help us do that? Now think about it. She said, what can I do? What is something I can do as an individual? $48. $4,800 is the cost of the well. Some people can drill a well, but what can I do, she asked. $48. $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their lives. $144, multiply that by three, $144, 30 people. Could you give 30 people water the rest of their life? You say, I wish I could get water like that. Well, we have it in abundance. We have it everywhere, in a tap. They don't. Would you make it possible? The missionaries will tell them about the love that prompted it and made it possible. Could you give a well, $4,800? If you can, I believe you will. And I want to thank you for it. Could you give $2,400 and pray someone matches it? Or $1,200 and pray three join you? There's a level at which you can find the answer to the question Tammy asked. What can I do? What can you do? What will you do? That's the real question. I know you care, but do you care enough to share? Would you dial the number or go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift right there? Write a check, make it to Life. Use your bank card like a check, but call us today. Tell us what God's put on your heart to give. Please do it. Go to the phone right now or go online. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you. We have some special gifts for you to bless you as you are blessing others with a love gift of life, fresh, clean water.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Majesty, an inspirational new fully illustrated book that will help you discover the promises behind the many names of God. With your gift of $100 or more, be sure to also request the Names of God pen set, custom crafted with the various names of God and the gifts of the Spirit. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I want to say thank you for your help, and I want to encourage you to look at the names of our God. Majesty, the words of one of the greatest praise songs you'll ever sing, written by Jack Hayford, and then the names of God throughout the Old Testament and what they mean. The beautiful witness pens, the bronze. Thank you so much for your help. Thanks for watching Life Today.
Tomorrow, award-winning author Sherry Rose Shepherd shares openly about the devastating collapse of her family.
I've watched how God does not waste pain.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.